Today on Real Radio.
This is interesting. When does God hear the non-believer? At the acceptable time when the gospel's given, look, God is expecting to hear that non-believer confess when they see the light. This is the acceptable time right now. Why? How do we know? Because I'm going to say something.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know, all about your salvation. A key step in receiving salvation is recognizing what's often called the sin problem. That is, that we have a sin nature and we're incapable of not sinning. Which is exactly why pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs emphasizes repentance in this lesson he calls You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
There's a lot of people in the jail down there in L.A. that are really regretting getting caught. Are they sorry for their lives? Oh, very sorry. Do they regret? Yes, I regret. Do they have this little trinity of destruction? Are their feelings just, oh, I feel terrible, I'm so burdened, so sorry, so guilty, so regretting? Not one of those things do anything for you in getting to heaven. That is not repentance. I'll prove it to you in a moment. The Bible says in Matthew 27:3-4, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was, look at the word, remorseful, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Man, I messed up. Boy, this didn't work out the way that I had planned. I'm so disappointed. Here's your money back. And Jesus kisses Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane following this. And he says, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man? That was Judas's last chance to repent of his ways. There was no repentance in his heart. Remorseful, guilty, sad, disappointed, but not repentful. By the way, when anyone in your life or when you in someone else's life repent, when you're repentful, you come more than sorry. You come more than feeling guilty. You come more than having regrets. Listen, if your wife says, I'm so sorry, I want to come back, I repent. If your husband says the same. True repentance, friends, listen, this is free. Write it down. True repentance never has conditions. I'm so sorry for the way things turned out. But just so you know, there's about three things I am not going to consider regarding this relationship. That's not repentance. You understand that? God deals with us the exact same way. In Mark 1:15, the Bible says, listen, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the kingdom of God. And if you just stopped right there, there'd be volumes written. What did he mean? What did he say? What is it? Well, he answers us, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. How do I get in? Where do I sign up? Metanoia. Repent and believe in the gospel. The word repent is the first word of the gospel. There is no gospel preaching. There's no gospel teaching. There's no salvation without the word repent. Now listen, I heard on a radio program recently, and I wrote it down. The guy said, are you sorry for all of your mistakes? Then come to Jesus. Your emotions may say, oh, isn't that great? I can come to Jesus because I make mistakes. Jesus is not the mistake fixer. Jesus does not make bad men good. Jesus makes dead men live. Listen, the gospel, because it brings salvation to you, transforms you. It doesn't, listen, Jesus didn't die on the cross to fix your mistakes. He died on the cross to have your sins be forgiven. When a preacher or an evangelist or a Christian tells you, you know, you ought to consider Jesus because he'll fix your mistakes. That's not the gospel. We have got to get to the key and to the core, which is change your mind about your opinion about who Christ is. Listen, everybody, imagine for a moment, all of us in this room are non-believers. You're all non-Christians, and you're here right now. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christ follower. The Bible teaches regarding this preaching of the gospel to the lost, this metanoia. The announcement is, for those who have an opinion of Jesus which is not biblical, change your mind about your opinion and adopt God's view, God's word, God's truth of who Jesus is. Church, why do you think the Bible over and over and over again says Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus died on the cross and rose again for your sins. Why does it say that over and over and over again? Because that is his mission. That's what he came to do. And the non-believer today walking around the world, according to the Bible, God does not hear their prayers. Did you know that? It's impossible. God will not listen to the prayers of a non-believer. He says so. Does that shock you? Why, first of all, why in the world would he listen to somebody who's diametrically opposed to the Son of God? He will not. That's why, by the way, the Bible says that we are to come to God in the name of Jesus Christ. The word name doesn't mean his name. The name means in the authority of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not a Christian, you do not and cannot come to God under the authority of Jesus Christ. You reject his authority. Do you follow this? So there is one confession that God is looking for the non-believer, only one. As it were, God's ears are plugged until the non-believer makes this repentance or comes to the gospel statement. Jesus or God, or Lord, I confess. Notice what Romans 10 says. If you confess, we saw it last week, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Okay, listen. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, God's ears are open to your cry from that moment on. Listen, to become a Christian, you do not confess to me or to the priest or to somebody by enumerating your sins. You do not go down the list. Okay, I want to become a Christian. Okay, well, you need to confess your sins. Well, I got a list. Can you imagine? How long is that thing? How long are we going to be here? That's not what the Bible says to do. The Bible says for the non-believer to make confession of faith in Jesus Christ. That's where you begin. That's it. Saved. Salvation. You say, oh, no, Jack, the Bible says we're to confess our sins. I'm not done yet. When it comes to repentance towards the non-believer, God is expecting and waiting to hear you change your mind about your opinion of who Jesus is and come to God's revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That is all important. That is what's necessary. Listen to this. I quote, "The confession of your sins to a priest or to a friend, listen, even to God himself, is absolutely worthless and holds no value unless you first repent of your understanding of who Jesus Christ is and come to the knowledge of him. He must be to you who he said he was to the world. Change your mind today about who Jesus is and be saved, be rescued, be born again." Isn't that a great statement? Believe, change your opinion now of who Jesus Christ is and believe him for who he said he was to the world. He says, I'm the Son of God, Savior of the world. If you have a different opinion, you're lost. God says, here is my Son, believe him, trust him. That's the repentance God is looking for. Dr. Charles Ryrie writes, and I quote, "Those who are criminals, for example, are very distraught about their condition, who are very sorry about their criminality and the damage that they have caused. But they are not willing to come to Christ to have their sins forgiven. This is not a biblical repentance. This is a carnal remorse. This is guilt. This is sorrow. But this kind of grief does not lead to salvation. It is imperative that you search your heart to determine if you are willing to not only face your sin, but to pick it up and to run with it straight to Jesus Christ and give it to him. The act of doing so is biblical repentance. Isn't that a great word? I want you to write this verse down. This is great. Why should you do that? You say, okay, Pastor, I'm the only non-believer in here. All the rest of you guys are Christians. I get that. I'll give you one wonderful, happy word. Psalm 103, so great. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's a word to the believer. But I tell you that right now, if you're not a Christian, listen, find it within your heart. Soften your heart to understand in the midst of all of your guilt and all of your regret and feelings and emotions, to step out of that for a moment and consider who Jesus Christ is according to the Bible. Why? Because God says, I will take your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. You want to be free? And then finally, before we make one more thought on this, in 2 Corinthians 6, listen to Paul, one of his most passionate moments. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Listen how serious this is. Do I have all your attention? He is saying, with what you are about to hear, you better not let it enter your head. Watch this. Enter your hand, bounce around the walls of your head, and then fall out of your nose or fall out of the other side of your ear. Paul says, you better not do that. We then, as workers together, plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you. This is interesting. When does God hear the non-believer? At the acceptable time when the gospel's given, look, God is expecting to hear that non-believer confess when they see the light. In the acceptable time. Watch, everybody. You want to know what that's like? Do I have your attention? Yes. This is the acceptable time. Amen. Right now. Why? How do we know? Because I'm going to say something. Jesus Christ is God, virgin born into this world, died on a cross, rose again from the dead, fulfilled all the law, perfect man, perfect God, the God-man, who ascended back to heaven, who paid your sin debt freely at the cross, and to empower his salvation, rose from the dead, and to guarantee that it's going to happen to you ultimately in the end, he gave you the Holy Spirit to seal the deal. Listen, this is now. That, a moment ago, was the acceptable time for you. For you. If you sit here today and you just go, oh, that's cool. No, it's not cool. What I just told you will damn you forever if you reject his love. If you let that truth among all truths fall out the other side of your ear. Yeah, I heard that. And you let it go. Just know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, you've been visited. Look at the verse, 2 Corinthians 6, put it back up there. Look at it. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If God speaks to you, he may not ever speak so clearly to you again. Change your opinion about who Jesus is. That's the word repentance. Now, what if you're a Christian? This is fun. Up until this moment, I've been talking to non-Christians predominantly. The non-Christian needs to repent of his opinion and view of Jesus and receive a new opinion, a new thought of Jesus, according to the Bible, biblical worldview of Christ. But what about the Christian? You've already done that. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. You've already done this. Doesn't apply to us who are believers. A different request of repentance applies to us who are believers. When you sin as a Christian, you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior over again. You don't change your mind about him being Lord and Savior. You already know who he is. You understand that? You change your mind, metanoia. Listen, you change your mind when, as a believer, you sin, you change your mind about the sin, not about the Savior. You got to get this, everybody. Those of you, listen, those of you who've been brought up thinking, well, man, I mean, I hope I'm never backslidden in my mind, or if I happen to have a greedy thought at the moment of the rapture or when I have a heart attack, if I die like that, I'll go to hell. No, you won't. Where'd you get that from? Oh, because I didn't get a chance to confess my sins, so I'm going to be lost. The Bible doesn't teach that. Well, I guess it does teach it if you're not a believer, but he's still not looking for you to confess your sin as a non-believer. He's waiting for you to confess Christ as a non-believer. Is this making sense? The believer, we don't confess Christ anymore. We've done it. So here's what we do. You know when you have that thought you have? You don't say, oh, Lord, that was wrong. Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive my sins. I want to be born again. I want to go forward. I want to give my heart to Christ. You already, don't do that. Don't do that. You only have to do that once. You know who he is. You know what you do? When you sin, the Bible says confess it to him. Confess it to him. Why? Because it's not a confession of salvation. It's a confession of fellowship. When you sin against God, you break communication with him. You know, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Wait, let me move over here. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Fellowship's broken. God says, Jack, that was not a good thought you had. I'm not talking to you. You agree. Listen, ek homo legeo. You say the same word about it that I do. And then we'll talk. Have you noticed that? Look, you know what I'm talking about. You can be loving on Jesus, having a great day, and about 10 minutes after 10 in the morning, somebody cuts you off in the freeway, and you just go, and if you don't, oh, and then you just stew in your temper, and you keep moving on, you're going to have a very, very lonely day. Oh, don't get me wrong. You're not lost. You're not going to hell like that. But God, you know, you can say, oh, God, look, there's that opening at the company, and I want to get that promotion. God, what do you think? And all you hear is crickets. Does he love you? Yes. Are you his child? Yes. But he ain't talking to you. Fellowship's been broken because he will not tolerate that in the life of any of his kids. Amen. And that's why sometimes, listen, sometimes, I hope not, but sometimes you may live days, weeks. Maybe it's been a couple of months and you're wondering, why is my Christian life so dead? Why am I not passionate about the things of God? Why am I seeing things that should rend my heart? Or I go to a message or to a service or I hear a broadcast and I should be excited about that, but it just kind of bounces right off of me. I mean, I know I'm a Christian stuff, but something's wrong. You know what it is? Unconfessed sin. We need Jesus. We need to clear the communication. You know, I was making fun of the cell phone connection a moment ago. I've concluded something because I've discovered something. Do you have voice command on your phone? Yeah. I can't tell you exactly. I hope he never tells anybody either. But I had voice command. I was driving, and I got a hold of Tony Perkins, and I said, Tony, you are a real blessing to me, verbally, and I sent it. Tony, you're a real blessing to me. Send. Hour and a half later, Tony emails me back, or texts me back, what have I done to deserve this? I go, what are you talking about? And he's laughing. He's got all these funny faces on it. And I look, what I called him was a horrible word. It was not me. It was the sin that dwells within my life. Have you noticed when you do voice command on your smart device, it never, never does it good? You want to know if you're living in a world of sin? When you speak voice command, it always takes what you said and makes it sin. If you were to say, you know what, you make me sick, man, I wish you'd go out and hang yourself, it never says, oh, you're just wonderful, love you, and you want to hang out? No, you can say, I love you more than the stars, and it will translate it into some lost, horrible, condemning statement. Why? Sin. Even my phone is lost and needs salvation. It's disgusting. Fellowship needs to be restored. 1 John 2:1. My little children, 1 John's written to believers, my little children, Christians, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, kill him. No, that's not what it says. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Somebody clap about that, please. When the Christian sins, what do? This is the word ek homo legeo, to metanoia, change my mind about that thing I just did. As you become a Christian perhaps today and you live on from this moment, God will speak to you systematically at certain times. Okay, now Jack, it's time to get rid of this. He will tolerate Satan things in your life, and then he says, okay, now we're going to work on this. And by the way, in our lives as Christians, he will say, okay, now it's time to dig down deep into this closet and get these things out. It's painful, it's bloody, it's horrific. When God does a work in my life now after all these years, almost 39 years of being a Christian, let me tell you, God doesn't say, hey, Jack, take a pill, and this will take this sin out of your life. Oh no, at my age with Jesus and walking with him, here's the deal. When God says, okay, Jack, now we're gonna work on something else, it's like, Lord, I was just looking in the mirror, I think I'm okay. No, Jack, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm gonna rip your spiritual guts so wide open. I'm gonna turn you inside out. Because we took care of all these other things, but now we're going for the big stuff. And the big stuff's hidden behind that discombobulator and this thing over here, and I'm going to pull it out. And this is a deep, long-time-seated feeling, emotion world that you've had over here, and I want it done, because you know what? I'm getting you ready for heaven, and it's time now we shine light on this area of your life. Let me tell you, those are very lonely, very, very bloody times, and I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China. It's part of being his kid. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we've got sin in our lives, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have, church, what? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, notice it's sins. Not confess Jesus as Lord, you already did that as a believer. To confess our sins. Hey, listen up, don't miss this. Confess your sin or sins the moment you're aware of them. No, Pastor, I live a busy life. That's why when I get home, I confess my sins kneeling down alongside my bed. You're going to have a horrible day. Do it in the moment. Keep the line of communication. Keep the conduit between you and God open, wide open at all times. If God speaks to you and says, you shouldn't have had that motive, you shouldn't have that attitude, you shouldn't have been that, you shouldn't have said that to him or her, deal with it right then and there, on the spot. So by the time you get to your bed, your slate's clean. You can jump into bed and say, Lord, what a great day we've had. Do you know that? Based on what? Based on if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can't live any more happy than that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's one in a mini-series that emphasizes repentance in the salvation process. You Need to Know All About Your Salvation is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Your Salvation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. You know, just breaking the ice, wouldn't you agree? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you have the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show it to your friend. And if you don't have it, remember, it's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend's already a believer, simply direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So again, maybe in the next few days, tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And maybe even direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.